Good afternoon to you all. Please turn to Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27. Before we read all of the psalm, although we'll be just concentrating on the first six verses, Psalm 27, as you'll see from the title, was written by David. David had quite a long life, and the circumstances of this psalm, most people, most commentators say, is when he was on the run from King Saul. So Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though wars may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a tremendous spiritual experience David experienced and wrote down for us in that psalm. Gives us the assurance of the secret place in our God. Most of you will be familiar with the internet auction site eBay. Some of you perhaps have even used it. Hopefully none of you are addicted to it, like my brother-in-law. He's always on it, selling things, buying things. But anyway, in 2002, there was a rather unusual auction on eBay. Someone was trying to sell God. And the blurb that usually goes with these things said this: I am selling God. God comes in a box. You may or may not be able to see him in the box, but he's there. Trust me, have faith. God is best used within 6 days, and he requires one day off per week. He's good at performing miracles, creating existence, and other such time-consuming tasks. Once you own God, you will question how you ever lived without him. Shipping for God is $12, and he will come in a standard cardboard box with no air holes because he is immortal, omnipotent. Some settling may occur, happy bidding. That's a genuine item on the internet auction site. Strangely enough, there were 44 people who bid, ranging from 1 cent to just under $100 million. You will not be able to bid now because the auction is closed. It's sometimes something like that may seem foolish, possibly even blasphemous, to talk about God in such a fashion. But the auctioneer said one thing that was quite insightful. He said in his blurb, once you own God, you will question how you ever lived without him. And whilst this person posed this option as a joke, it's a lot more serious than what he possibly thought with this insightful statement. The reality of what he said is no laughing matter. Because when you are in a personal relationship with God, that is exactly what your experience of him will be. You will wonder, first of all, how you ever managed without him. And then you will realize that you can't live without him. And that was David's experience in this psalm that he gave us. Now, that relationship, that closeness we have with our Lord and our Saviour doesn't come through bidding in an auction. Anyone who bid on that would not have received what they were seeking. That only comes through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for sin on the cross. That it will only come by taking him as our own personal Saviour and Lord of our lives. Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Just as by faith David here had that personal relationship with God. In this psalm, David relates the fact that he knows that he possesses the Lord already by faith in verse 1. This knowledge gave David much reassurance of soul and in his life as he faced the various battles of life. He speaks of past victories, and at this time that would have been when he was a shepherd boy fighting off various creatures who would seek to devour the sheep he was protecting. It would speak of his clash and victory over Goliath. He speaks of past victories. And in his faith, he also speaks of future victories that he will accomplish because the Lord is his strength and his might. David knew that in his life, the only safe place in the world was to be in a place close to God. Close to God. And he wanted to be in a place where he could see God, where he could speak to God, and where he could worship God. And it was the all-consuming desire of his heart. And when a believer abides in that precious place, close to the Lord, we have certain assurances that the world can't even imagine. And that mayhap they might see in us a confidence that appears brash and arrogant. The confidence that we have in our God. Because perhaps they think that we think we deserve to be in such a position when we know that it's all of grace. And sometimes our statements of utter faith in God can appear to be an arrogance. And yet we know it's not because it's all of grace. First of all, there is the assurance of personal guidance from the Lord. When you read through those first few verses, you'll note the personal pronouns related in the activity of God in the believer's life. He will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle will he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And there are two things to note about this activity. First of all, it is a personal activity. This is something God does of his own will, and he does it for the individual, the believer in him, the one who has faith in him, the one who trusts him. Secondly, it's a passive activity. The believer is required to do nothing except place himself in that position that God can deal with him in this way. So it's personal. And when we're in him, he does things for us because he loves us and cares for us. So the message here is simply this. The Lord is intensely interested in the details of our lives. He's intensely interested in the things that we do, the things that we say. Our interests are of interest to Him. Remember that Hebrews chapter 4 says that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched by them. Just imagine that. We can touch Almighty God with the feelings of our infirmities. We know that His eyes on every detail of life. We know that He is ever present. We can look back in the past of our lives and see His hand dealing with us and the circumstances of our lives. See where the Lord has moved mountains, where He has made straight paths for our feet, where He has filled in valleys in our lives as we trust in Him. He is intimately involved in every detail of our lives. What a wonderful thing it is to be in that close position of abiding in God, abiding in our Lord Jesus Christ, being that close to Him. We may not always understand the leadership of the Lord in our lives. We may not always understand the circumstances of this guidance. Sometimes it will be way over our heads, and sometimes we will wonder if God can be involved at all in some of the things that happen to us. Just as David may have been at times uncertain, just as we read other psalms as a counterpoint to this one, where the psalmist is so uncertain of his position before the Lord, he appears to be floundering, grasping with his fingernails to experience the presence of God. We've all felt like that as well. And yet here in this one, he is full of the confidence that God is working in his life and he's protecting him and guiding him. We note from this that we are precious to God. There's also the assurance of powerful guardianship. David here speaks of the guardianship, the protection of God in his life. David tells us that the Lord will hide him in his pavilion. Now, most of us, when we think of a pavilion in this military manner, we have before us the field of cloth, the cloth of gold, with tents, round tents here, there and everywhere, lances pointing up from the side. And it's a similar kind of thing. It's the middle of a battlefield. And there is this tent erected by the king, and it's his pavilion. It's surrounded by soldiers protecting him from the battle. David would have been familiar with this scene. Not a medieval setting, but he would have been familiar with this scene. He was called to face Saul at one point before he went to Goliath. He was familiar with that. The tent was surrounded by brave soldiers. Those who were fortunate enough to be allowed to enter into the king's tent were protected in that pavilion. But it was on a battlefield. It wasn't the palace. It wasn't a fortress. It was the king's pavilion. And you know, David here hasn't in mind King Saul's pavilion, because he may not have felt too safe there. He may not have felt the presence of Saul to be a safe place to be. So he has in his mind here a spiritual alternative. That is the pavilion of Almighty God. That is where he is. And that is where he is safe. In a spiritual sense, he is in the presence of God, surrounded by enemies, and because he's in that presence, nothing can touch him in the presence of Almighty God. He's in the king's pavilion, the King of Kings. That's where he is. He wasn't safe anywhere else. The word hide in this context here, it means to treasure away as well. It has that meaning of something that is put away as treasure. And that's how the Lord views us, as his treasure. What an amazing thing. So as the battles of life rage about us, our spiritual lives, we are safe in God. The Bible tells us that our life is hid with Christ in God. Is there anywhere safer than that? No, there isn't. Of course not. Those who have entered his pavilion are protected from all those spiritual things that can harm us. When we abide in him, when we are in him in this manner, we are protected. That doesn't mean that we're safe from the life that goes on around us, the things that we're involved with. If that was so, then Paul wouldn't have been able to relate all the experiences of trial and tribulation that he had. If that was the case, Stephen wouldn't have been stoned. If that was the case, we wouldn't have a church history littered with martyrs of those who laid their lives on the line for truth and paid that price of their life. But it means that spiritually we are safe in him. This assurance of his powerful guardianship allows us to weather the storms with confidence and victory. It's what allowed David to face Goliath. It is what allowed Stephen to face his persecutors. It's that place where Stephen was when the stones rained down upon him and took his life away. He was abiding in his Lord in that pavilion. It was the confidence that kept Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and helped them through the situation that they faced. It's the knowledge that allowed Paul to continue even when he suffered greatly, because he knew that spiritually his life was hid in Christ in God. So there was the assurance of guardianship. And then there was the assurance of profound glory as well, because David here, he writes about being in the presence of the Lord in such a wonderful way. The word tabernacle he uses, it brings to mind the place of worship. The secret place of his tabernacle refers to the Holy of Holies. That was the place that was off limits to all, apart from the high priest, and even then, just once a year, he was allowed to enter, but only with the blood of an innocent sacrifice. And it's the secret place where the Lord took David, and it's the secret place where the Christian can now enter through the blood of the covenant, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We enter into the holiest place of all, the very presence of God in profound glory. It's a wonderful thing. David mentions the tabernacle, the tent he would have been familiar with. Interestingly enough, he also mentions a temple. Temple wasn't built then. Don't even know if then he had it in mind to build a temple for God, for this was before he was king. Is it an anachronism? Is it something that some later writer slipped in to the psalm? I don't believe so. I believe this is revelation that David had. This is inspiration that he had. He would perhaps have been familiar with temples in other religions. He may have been familiar with the temples in places like Gath, amongst the Philistines. And perhaps he thought, as he saw their splendor, that there was a heavenly counterpart. And he was right. There is a temple of God that is of heaven. So it was inspiration. It was revelation to David. And it speaks of profound glory. And it's a place where we can inhabit. Isn't it amazing that in this overcrowded, overpopulated world and this country, there is a place of solitude that we can withdraw to, the presence of our God. The assurance of profound glory. Lastly, there is the assurance of precious grace from God. David has this assurance that even when the circumstances of life seem to overflow and weigh against him, the Lord will set him upon a rock. He will set him upon a rock, a place that is unchangeable. A place that is powerful and it's immovable. That is the grace of our God. The rock refers to none other but the Lord Himself. He is the rock of our salvation. It is a rock that just juts far above all the battles that rage below. It is a safe place. That's where the Christian can be, will be, as he places us on the rock. It's the portion of all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, all who know Him. A place of refuge where we can turn. The presence of our God, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will lift us far above all the stormy seas that rage around us and threaten to overwhelm and swamp us when we abide in Him, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who abide in Him are given grace that bears them higher than anything else there is that can give them. Those who wish to rise above their circumstances are given wings to do so by our God. We can thank God for His matchless, wonderful grace that allows us to weather the storms of life as we abide in Him, as we are found in Him, our place of refuge, the rock of our salvation. His grace allows some to soar while others plummet to the ground. Is that a place where you are abiding? Are you found in the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no other way to that place other than through the cross and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to that safe place apart from trusting in Him and what He has done. Our sins will stop us going to that place unless they are dealt with at the cross through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we trust in Him, what He has done at that place, in His sacrifice, and that alone, we will be placed upon the rock of our salvation. So we have, through the words of this psalm, we have His guidance. We have His guardianship. We have His glory. And lastly, we have His grace displayed towards us that He can do this thing for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our rock, the rock of our salvation. And we praise Him and Him alone, as He is the one who has saved us. He is the only one whose name is worthy. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and none shall come to the Father except through Him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this gift of the Lord Jesus Christ You have given to this world, that You have given to us as individuals in this life and for the next. And our Lord, we pray that You would stir up our hearts to trust Him. You would stir up our hearts, the hearts of the believer, that they would seek only Him as a place of satisfaction for their lives. We thank You for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He was willing to go to that place at Calvary, willing to take up that cross, walk with it, and then bear it as He was nailed there and died for our sins. Our Father, we thank You that in Your great power, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again in resurrection glory, and we thank You that He ascended into heaven and is now there, seated at the right hand of the Father, and that there is no name that is above His. His name is above every other name. We thank You for the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for Him who is our rock And as we depart this place, we pray that His grace would go with us, and His glory, His guidance, and His protection, as we entrust our lives, all that we are, to our Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen.